All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Mem Gimel 43. We are picking up on 43. Three lines down. Mem Gimel Medalef, three lines down from the top. So we'll say, remember again, the Mishnah introduced us to this idea that if you find utensils, Kalim, and on these utensils are images of the sun and the moon, or images of dragons, so ultimately, again, such a utensil has to be discarded. So we'll say we are now challenging, but we are now discussing the scope or parameters of this particular halacha, focusing on what type of images are prohibited, and also, again, what type of utensils are prohibited. We'll get into that in just a little bit. And also, specifically, is the prohibition just on situations where you create the utensils, or is the prohibition ultimately even on when you find the utensils? So this is all the greater discussion in which we find ourselves in the middle of. So the Gemara says as follows. Well, say third line down, Mem Gimel and Aleph. Reisha v'tseifa b'motzi, u'mitziasa ba'oseh. So remember again, we discussed the Braisa yesterday on Mem Beis and Mem Beis. The Gemara now dashes the first, the Reisha and Seifa of the Braisa are talking about a situation where you find the object, and the mitziasa, the middle case of the Braisa, is where I've created the object. I've made it. Amar Abaye, in Reisha V'Seifa, I'm sorry, that really should be read as a question. Abaye says, yes, in Reisha V'Seifa B'motzei, Mutziasa Ba'osa. Abaye says, yes, the Reisha and the Seifa, the Braisa is where you found the object, and the middle part of the Braisa is where you are making it. Rava Amar Rava says, no, incorrect. Kula B'motzei. The reality is, the entire Braisa we quoted on Amar Beis is talking about a situation where you found this utensil with the images on it. U'mitziasa Rabbi Hudihi. And Abaye says, the middle part of the Braisa reflects the view of Rabbi Huda. What does Rabbi Huda say? Disanya. Rabbi Huda Mosif, well, this is actually quite very interesting. Rabbi Huda holds that in addition to the prohibited images of the sun and the moon and the dragons, Rabbi Huda adds on something additional, which is Aftimus Menika. He also holds that one of the prohibited images to be inscribed and to be engraved on utensils is the image of a nursing woman. I will say, what's the issue of a nursing woman? Rashi says, Isha Menika Bain. We'll discuss what the symbolism there is amazing. It's just a moment. Furthermore, the Sar Office. I will say, and also the image of Sar Office. Okay? What's Sar Office? We'll discuss that in just a moment. So the Gemara says, Menika. What's Menika? Ashem Chava Sheminikas Kala Olam. But say, this is amazing. So some worshipped the image of a nursing woman, and the nursing woman was supposed to represent Chava. Chava is the Ein Kol Chai. She's the mother of all living things. So some deified Chava, ultimately, again, as the nursing mother, the mother who nursed the world in its entirety. Sar Afis, we'll say, what is, or who is Sar Afis? Listen to this. Hashem Yosef. We'll say there are those who worshipped Yosef as a deity. Sar Afis is Shesar. They will say here Sar, even though it's spelled with a Samach, really has a connotation to Sar with a sin, which means an officer or a great ruler, Umafis. So we'll say if you look at Rashi, Rashi says over here, Sar Shesar v'naase Sar, and ve umafis es kala olam kulo. Rashi says over here, Bishneire avon. The hefis came over hefis daito. Amma pirtz of Adonai Yehuda Asher. So let's listen to this. So they used to worship Yosef, and they called Yosef, they called the image of Yosef Sar Afis. Sar representing a great ruler, Afis representing one who calms. Yosef calmed the world during times of great famine. Remember again, the Ra'av that we speak about in the end of Bereishis was not simply a Ra'av, was not simply a famine which impacted Egypt and Eretz Yisrael and Eretz Canaan, but rather it impacted the entire region, which at that time was the cradle of civilization. So therefore, Rabbi Osei Halacha L'maisa, they turned Yosef into a deity. They turned Yosef ultimately again into some great god. So therefore, again, Rabbi Huda says that even if you find the utensil with the image of a human being, ultimately, again, that would be problematic as well. So the Gemara says, but furthermore, Sar Afis is only problematic if Huda Nukit Garyua, or Giruya, that's only true if the image of Yosef is holding, it will say Giruya literally means like a scale or a measure, Vika Kayo, and in the image, he's actively weighing things out. Vehi, furthermore, again, the image of Chava is only problematic if what? Vehi denukta ben vekamenika. The image of Chava is only problematic if she's actively nursing a child in that image. So we'll say, so just first of all, just fascinating to see what people worshipped, which is just fascinating in and of itself, and seeing that indeed, according to Rabbi Huda, the image of a person will in fact be problematic as well. Ten Rabbanan, so we'll say now we're going to analyze this a little bit. So one of the images that the Mishnah said was problematic was the image of a dragon. So it says the Gemara, Ten Rabbanan, Ezehu Tzuras Darkon. So we'll say, what exactly, what does a dragon look like? So Perush of Shimon Elazar. So Shimon Elazar says, "Kol sheyesh lo tzitzin bein prakav." So both say, literally translated, tzitzin means like fins. Bein prakav means between the vertebrae of the spine. So say, I guess this means like the image of a dragon doesn't have a flat back, but the image of a dragon has like fin. I guess you call it fins. I don't know what the right term is. Spikes coming out of its vertebrae. That's called the dragon. So Machvi Ravasi, Ravasi demonstrated this, and he said, Bein Pirkei Tzavar. Specifically, again, between the vertebrae in the neck. So we'll say, because I guess otherwise, without the spikes or without the fins, so it could just look just basically reptilian. The idea is, what goes ahead and differentiates a dragon? Are the fins coming, or the spikes coming out of the vertebrae, specifically of the neck? So the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, halacha k'Rab Shimon Elazar." So we'll say, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina said, "The halacha follows Rabbi Shimon Elazar." We'll say that again. The tzura of the darkon, in order for the image of the dragon to be problematic, ultimately, again, it's not just enough that it has the other aspects of a dragon or dragon-like features, but also it needs to have these fins, these spikes that are coming out of the vertebrae of the neck. Amr Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amr Rabbi Yishom Levi. Pam achos hayisi mahalich achar Rabbi Lazar hakafar berebi baderach. So we'll say, so now it tells a story. Rabbi Yishom Ben Levi says, one time, I was walking after Rabbi Lazar hakafar on the road. This is actually quite interesting. Umatza sham tabas. And I will say, as Rabbi Lazar HaKafar was walking, he found the ring. Va'aleha tsuras darkon. And I will say, on the ring was the image of a dragon. On the ring was the image of a dragon. So we'll say, so what happens? So now, Rabbi Lazar HaKafar wants the ring. What's the problem? The problem is, if it's a ring with the image of a dragon, I will say, then what? You have to treat it like Avodah Zarah. So what does he do? So Amar lo. So I'm sorry. Matza Ovid Kochavim Katan. So we'll say he passes by, literally again, a young idolater, an Ovid Koch, an Akum, who is a Katan. Velo Amar lo Klum. But yet Rabbi Lazar did not ask him to do anything. Now, we'll say, obviously, let's take a step back for just a second. What's the way that Rabbi Lazar HaKafar, how could he use this ring? Right? What's the mechanism for allowing him to use this ring? And the answer is, he needs an Ovid Kochavim to be Mavatalit. Right? Remember, again, we've already begun to discuss this. The only way Avodah Zarah stops being Avodah Zarah is if an Akum negates the idolatrous identity of the particular form. So Rabbi Lazar now wants the ring. He wants to use the ring. But the problem is, he has to be Choshish, that's Avodah Zarah. He needs an Akum to actively negate it. So what happens? The first Akum he meets going down the street is a Katan, so he doesn't ask him for anything. Goes on, Matz Ovid Kochavim Gadol, he finds an adult Ovid Kochavim, and what happens? Va'amar lo, Batla, and he tells Ovid Kochavim Batla, and I just want to point something out over here. Rashi points out that Rabbi Lazar found the ring, Velo Hikbia, but he didn't pick it up. Why didn't he pick it up? This goes back, you remember again yesterday, who do we keep seeing over and over and over? Rava says, what's the problem? If a Jew goes ahead and picks up Avodah Zarah, there's a chashash, that's what? That he acquires it. The problem is, with Jewish-owned Avodah Zarah, there is no bittul. There is gniza, you could hide it away, you could destroy it, but there is no bittul. So you can imagine the scene, Rabbi Lazar wants the ring. The problem is, he will not pick it up, so he needs an akum to be mevatel, the Avodah Zarah identity of the ring. Finds the first akum is a katan. Nope, doesn't ask him anything. Second akum he comes across as a gadol. I don't mean like a gadol. I mean just like, he's an adult. He's an adult, and what happens? But amar lo, batla, says to the akum, be mevatel the ring, be mevatel the darkon. So what happens? The Akum said no. Satro. So Rabbi Lazar slapped him. Please, would you like to rethink this, right? And he goes ahead, he slaps him. And what happens, right? Satro ubatla. and the Akum was mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So he slapped him, and the Akum was mevatel the Avodah Zarah. So says the Gemara, Shma Mina Tlas. So we'll say we learn three things ultimately again from this particular Maisa. Shma Mina, Ovei Kochav Mevatel Avodas Kochav Mishlo V'Shal Chavero. We'll say, so number one, we see that an Akum has the ability to not only negate the idolatrous identity of his own idol, but also has the ability to do it of someone else's idol. Also, the idea is that an Akum, this is an incredible yisod, it's almost like, lahavdil elef alfi rive havdalus, it's the din of arvos. Right, it's just like you have kol Yisrael arevim zebazeh. So it's kol akum somehow again arevim zebazeh, but didn't have all the zara. That somehow again they're one big happy idolatrous family. My avol the zara is your avol the zara. So therefore again one akum has the ability to go ahead and negate the idolatrous identity of his idol as well as someone else's idol. So says the Gemara, furthermore, v'shachaveru, shmamina, both say, so that's halacha number one. An ovei kochav has the ability to battle his idol and someone else's idol. Shmamina, both say, the second lesson we learn from this story is, yodea betiv shalavodos kochavim umisham sheha mevatel. We'll say number two is that you have to understand Avodah Zarah to be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. If you don't understand Avodah Zarah, you cannot be Mevatel Avodah Zarah. Where do we see that from? We see that from the fact that Rabbi Elazar did not ask the Katan. Why didn't he ask the Katan to be Mevatel the Avodah Zarah? Because the Pashtas, he assumed the Katan doesn't understand idolatry. Therefore, to negate it, you have to understand it. So that's lesson number two. Ushmamina. Oved kochavim mevatel bal karcho. And of course, lesson number three is that Oved kochavim can be forced to be mevatel his avodah zarah. As evidenced by the fact that the only reason Oved kochavim did is because he did not want another zetz. Right? He didn't do it because he suddenly saw the theological light. He just did so because he got slapped. But you see from here that even a forced negation of idolatry is in fact a proper negation of idolatry. We'll say three pieces, each of which are halacha lemaisa. Megadef bo Rabbi Chanina. So we'll say, so Rabbi Chanina was surprised at this. Surprised at this. But let's say that Rabbi Elazar Akafa Baribi had this land. But one second. Does Rabbi Elazar not subscribe to the following halacha? After all, what did we learn? Hamatzil min ha'ari, u min hadov, u min hanomar, u min agayis. Well, so listen to this. If I save an object from a lion, from a bear, from a leopard, from marauding troops, guys, like troops, soldiers, mina nar, from the river, mizuto shayam, from the strength of the sea, umishloliso shanar, v'amotzi, will say, so in all of these cases, I have, quote-unquote, saved an object in a way in which it was about to be irreversibly lost. So the object was about to be swept away by the water, or whatever else, and I save it. I save it. It was about to be devoured by the lion. I save it. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Or, v'amotzi bisrachu plachi gidola, b'chomakum shara. Or for that matter, I find the object in Sratcha and Platcha. I find it in public places. Places, Rabbi Osei, b'chol makom sharab mitzuyim sham, or any place where there are a lot of people around. What's talocha? Sahare elu shalom. We'll say back to our Eilu Metzia's days. Why? Mipnei shabayla mesia ashen mehen. So we'll say, what's talocha? The halacha is, now these are two separate halachas mentioned as one. The first part of this halacha is, if someone sees that their object is being lost in an irretrievable fashion, we assume that what? That they give up any hope of going ahead and retrieving it. So Reuven is standing there, he's watching his object, his coat, be in the lion's mouth. So Bepashtos, he assumes he is not getting that back. He assumes he's not getting that back. So if I somehow wrestle it out of the lion's mouth, I have the right to keep it. Why? Because we assume that it's Yeyush Bailim. We assume that Reuven gave up hope of ever getting it back. Similarly, again, Reuven sees his coat being washed downstream. The current is very strong. He's not jumping in to get it. I jump in to get it, so I could keep it. Why? Because we assume that it's Yeyush. The simpler case, Reuven loses his object in a public place. Bepashtos, there's Yeyush. And I will say, what's the chaf? Once there's Yeyush, once the owner despairs of retrieving his object, so the finder is permitted to keep it. So as says the Gemara, I don't understand, Rabbi Lazar, why do you have to go ahead? Why you found this ring. Where did he find the ring? He found the ring on a public place. So we'll say, Bepashtos, we should assume that what? There's Yeyush. the owners gave up hope of ever getting back the item. If there's yeyosh, if they've relinquished ownership, is that not the equivalent, essentially, of bittul, of negating the avodah zarah? And if that's the case, again, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi should be able to keep the ring, and he doesn't need to start slapping people in order to be able to hold on to it for himself. So Rabbi Abaye says, no. Nihid demina minat miyayish. Abaye says, it is possible that the Akum who lost the ring may give up hope of ever retrieving it, meisura mimiyayish. That will say, so giving up hope of retrieving it is not the equivalent of negating its idolatrous identity. See, even though, again, he may give up hope, he may despair of ever retrieving it, he's not necessarily mevatel the idolatrous identity. Why? What does he hold? Meimar amar, because he figures to himself, listen, I ovid kochava mashkachla, miflach palachla. He figures like this. If it's an akum who finds it, great. The akum will worship it. I yisrael mashkachla, and if a Jew finds it, the Jews know that this type of ring is very expensive. He'll sell it to a Gentile, sell it to an Akum, and the Akum will daven to it. So I'll say the idea being over here that although the Ovid Kochavim loses it and may despair and may give up hope of ever retrieving it, so he may give up hopes of future ownership, that he does not negate the idolatrous entity or the idolatrous identity of the object. Figures either a Akum will find it and worship it, or a Jew will find it. Jew obviously can't keep it, but he'll sell it and keep the money, and a non-Jew, an Akum will end up worshipping it as well. Therefore, Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Elazar Rebbe cannot go ahead and count on Yeyosh to go ahead and keep it on his own, and therefore, again, he has to employ the mechanisms we saw above. Tanan Hasam. So we'll say, now we're going to get into a very interesting sugya. Very interesting sugya. Tanarasim. Dumus tsuros lavanos hayulod Rabbi Gamliel bal Yosef. Gil mentioned this to me yesterday after davening. That I will say this. Listen to this. Rabbi Gamliel, we saw some seches Rosh Hashanah that Rabbi Gamliel had images of the moon in his attic. He was saying, now why did Rabbi Gamliel have images of the moon? So remember, again, Rabbi Gamliel was the Av Beis Din. So it was his job to go ahead and investigate and cross-examine the witnesses when they came to give testimony about the new moon. Because once, remember, again, you can't just accept testimony, you have to cross-examine. Because remember, again, we know that there were the Tzdukim. Right, the Tzdukim ultimately tried to actively overturn and undermine Kiddush HaChodesh. So therefore, again, they had to get a cross-examination. So the Mishnah taught us, the Mustzuros Lavanos Chayel Rabbi Gamliel Bal Yosef, Betavla Bakosel, Shebahen Maris Hadyotos V'Amr Lahen, Kazeri Isem, O Kazeri Isem. Rabbi Gamliel had images of the moon on a picture, on a tablet, literally again on a tablet, in his upper attic, and he would show the witnesses, and he would ask them, did the moon look like this? Did the moon look like this? So says the Gemara, Umishari, is this permitted to have images of the moon? So says the Gemara, V'haksiv, we learned, Lo sa'asun iti. Remember again, the Pasuk says, do not make with me Elokei Zav, Elokei Kesef, Elokei Kesef, Elokei Zav, Lo Tasu Lachem. Gods of silver, gods of gold. How do we darshan? Lo sasun kidimus shamashai hamishamshim in lefonai. Do not make images of those entities who serve before me in the heavens. Which I will say seems to be an explicit biblical prohibition to recreate images of the luminaries. You can't make images of the sun, the moon, and the stars. So how could Rabbi Gamliel go ahead and put on his tablet, ultimately again, images of the moon? Amar Abaye says, no. Lo Asra, we're going to give a number of different answers to this question. So Abaye says, Lo Asra Torah, Ela Shamashon She'esher Lasos Kimosam. We'll say the prohibition is only upon those things which serve God, of which man can make an exact replica. For example, Kidisanyo, Lo Ya'as Adam Bayis Tavnis Hechel. We'll say this is so interesting. Let's say again, I have a great idea for a construction project. I'm building a new house, and I want to build my house like the Beis HaMikdash. Some people do Zeichel LeChorban. I'm going to do Zeichel LeMikdash, and I'm going to build my house to the specifications of the Beis HaMikdash. You're not allowed to do that. Achsadra tavnis ulam. You can't make an antechamber like that has the exact dimensions of the antechamber of the Beis Hamikdash. Chotzer tavnis azara. You can't make for yourself a courtyard which has the dimensions of the azara of the courtyard of the Beis Hamikdash. Tavnis shulchan. But say you can't make for yourself a shulchan, right? You can't replicate. You can't make for yourself. You know what? I'm gonna have my own lechem upon him, and I'm gonna have my own shulchan in my den. You can't do that either. Menorah tavnis menorah. But say is a very important one. You also can't make a replica of the menorah. Now, avalu oseh shel hei v'shel vav v'shel ches. And this is very interesting. Remember again, the menorah v'shel zayin lo yaseh. So ultimately, again, remember, the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash was a seven-branched candelabra. So that's what you can't make. You can't make seven branches. You can make five, you can make eight. Remember again, even if you're making seven, you can make seven as long as what? As long as, again, it doesn't look like one of the Beis Hamikdash. So, for example, we'll say you see this often in shuls. So the way often we get around this is you make the branches of differing heights. If it's of differing heights, therefore, by definition, it doesn't resemble the Beis Hamikdash. The idea is you can't recreate the menorah of the Beis Hamikdash, or for that matter, any of the other utensils, or any of the dimensions of the Mikdash itself. But so there's actually an amazing Gemara, just Altschanika. Afilu shal sharmine matachos. Even if you're building the menorah, remember the menorah was gold. Even if you're building the menorah, right, I know what you're thinking, right? You're thinking about, what about on the way down to the Kotel, right? So also remember again, that menorah is constructed for Mashiach. Remember again, that menorah is there ultimately, again, to be used in Yartza Hashem, B'shatov Mutlachas in the Bayis Shlishi. That's not being recreated for personal use. That's not being recreated ultimately again for Mitius. That's being recreated in Mirza Hashem for Aaron HaKohen, Tchias HaMeisim, Bayis Shlishi. So says the Gemara, Afilu shel shamini matachos. Even if you make your menorah out of other kinds of metals, so in other words, let's say I'm not making it out of gold, you still can't recreate it. Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda Omer, Af shel eitzle. So we'll say this. We actually saw this. Well, we mentioned this Gemara. This is amazing. Even if you're going to make it out of wood. You still can't recreate the menorah of the Mishkan, of the Beis HaMikdash. Why? Lo yaseh, kederach sha'asu Beis HaShmonai. But say this is a dramatic, dramatic Gemara. The original Gemara is actually Maseches Menachos. But listen to this. You can't even make it out of wood like the HaShmonai made it. But say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Umachos Beis HaShmonai, Rashi says, Aso b'mikdash shal eitz la'achar shetimu yivanem esahechal v'notlu kol kelev. Supposed to listen to this. And Hanukkah, everyone focuses on the fact that there was no Shemen Zayisach, that there was no pure oil, save for one cruise. We'll say, there was a bigger issue. When the Hashanah came into the Beis HaMikdash, besides the oil, there was no menorah. There was no menorah. Remember again, the menorah was made out of solid gold. The Syrian Greeks had taken it away long ago. This is amazing. It's perhaps one of the most overlooked parts of the story. That everybody focuses that there was no oil. There was also no menorah. So now, what did the Hashmonaim do? The Chashmonaim did. So the Gemara says, "Amru lo misham raya shipudin shal barzel hayu." We'll say in the first year when the Chashmonaim came back into the Beis Hamikdash, what did they make the menorah out of? Shipudin shal barzel, iron rods, iron spits. We'll say whether that means they took their spears, right? Maybe took off. I don't know. They took off maybe the top of the spear. Made that whatever it is. They made the first menorah, meaning year one, was made ultimately from iron spits. What happens? She put in shalvar zahayu v'chopim bebatz. And Rabbi say then what happened? Subsequently, they coated it in tin. Heshiru. They became a little richer. Asum shal kesef. They made it out of silver. Chazru v'heshiru asum shal zav. But say ultimately again, they went ahead and later on they made it out of gold, which is just amazing. So even to get back to the state where they had a menorah of gold took a number of years until they were able to get back to that point. So we'll say, so the Gemara says over here this follows. So therefore we'll say, remember again, what was our kasha? We just said before, lo sa'asun iti, that the halacha is one is not permitted to create a replica of the luminaries, those things which, quote-unquote, live beside HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the celestial sphere. No replicas of the sun, of the moon, of the stars. What's the kasha? Rabbi Gamliel has in his aliyah, Rabbi Gamliel has in his attic, all of these pictures of the moon. How is he permitted to do it? To which, the answer number one that Abaye gives is, you're misunderstanding the lav. The lav is lo sasun iti, means, do not make exact replicas of those things of which making a replica is possible. Like aspects of the Beis HaMikdash. But I will say, when it comes to the sun, the moon, and the stars, where you can't make an exact replica, so at the end of the day, the prohibition doesn't apply. So the Gemara says, is that true? Vishamashin she efshal asosa kimosan mishari. Is that true? So because you can't make an exact replica, ultimately, of the luminaries, so then it's permitted. Vatanya, we learned, lo sasun iti. So Pasuk says, don't make with me, lo sasun kidimos shamashai hamasham shimin lefonai memorum. You know, so we seem to have an explicit love. What's the love? Lo sasun iti means, do not make images of those luminaries which serve by my side in the celestial seer, which I will say seems to be an explicit prohibition of making images of the sun, the moon, and the stars. But Abai says, lo, so Amadez of Osai. Abai says, no. Lo astra Torah, ella bidemus dalit ponim, bahade hadadi. No, I will say, what that prohibition of Osai comes to exclude is making an image with four faces. What does this refer to? I will say, tap Rashi, mem gimel Amadez. Arba upon him, Pnei Shor, Va'adam, Va'arye, V'nesher, L'chaya Achos, Dugma Chayos HaKodesh, Dechsev, Iti HaShiruyos Etzli. So we'll say, over here, the Gemara is making reference to the vision of Yechezkel, and Yechezkel, bless you, Yechezkel sees this vision of an angel which has four faces. What are the four faces of the angel? It has the face of a shor, an ox, an adam, a man, an aryeh, a lion, and a nesher, and an eagle. And these are the angels that apparently, again, live right by, in close proximity to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the vision of Yechezkel. So Abayi says something very interesting. He says, when the Pasuk says, lo sasun iti, and yes, do not make images that resemble those things that dwell next to me, Abayi says, that is not a reference to the sun, the moon, and the stars. What is that a reference to? That's a reference to the four-faced angels. So you can't make images of four-faced angels. Okay? Says the Gemara. So elame'ata pirtzuf adam lichudei tishtari. So then you're telling me that to just make an image of a man, just the image of a man by himself, should be permitted. Should be permitted. So if that's the case, so what's right? Meaning you're telling me now that the only prohibition, if it's a four-faced image, if it's just the image of a man by itself, it should be fine. So we'll say, if that's the case, Alama Tanya, why does the Braisa say, Kala Pirtzufos Mutarin, we'll say you can make the face of anything, Chutz mi Pirtzuf Adam. You can't make the image of a human being. You can't make the image of a person. So says the Gemara, and again, we're gonna discuss this in greater depth. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Braid Rav Yeshua. So we'll say, you obviously see the Gemara saying, Abaye, you're wrong. So Abaye is saying, Lo sasun iti only means you can't make an image that has these four faces together, but apparently you can make the image of what? Of just a solitary human being. Yet we have a Braid that says, you can't. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Braid Rav Yeshua. Mirpirkei Rav Yeshua Shemi Ali. So let's listen to this. Rabbi Yehuda, son of Rav Yeshua, said, I learned in the shir of Rabbi Yeshua, lo sasun iti, when the pasuk says, do not make with me, lo sasun osi. We dash not, we'll say that, Chesh Baruch Hu says, don't make images of me. Now, we'll say, now, what does that mean, don't make images of me? So we'll say, aval sharsh, so now, we'll say, what's the closest thing which resembles HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is man, right? Na'asa adam bitzalminu, kidmusenu. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, lo sasun iti, we darshan as lo sasun osi. Do not make images of me. What does it mean, don't make images of me? Don't make images of people. Don't make images of human beings. Aval shar shamoshin shari. Rabbosei, which you could make images of other things which dwell beside HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the celestial abode, i.e., you can make images of the sun, the moon, and the stars. Ushar shamoshin mishari. But is that true that you can make images of the other things which dwell with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vatanya, meaning the sun, the moon, and the stars. Vatanya, we learned in a braisa, lo sasun iti, lo sasun kidmus shamashai, hamisham shimin lafonai b'maro. But again, we keep coming back to the same thing. The pasuk says, do not make with me, right? And again, we dash in that to mean, do not make images of those things which serve before me in the celestial sphere. So we'll say, we assume that, what does that refer to? Sun, moon, stars, to which the Gemara says, no. What it refers to is kigon ofanim usrafim v'chayos hakodesh umalochi asharis. Rabbi say I can't make images ultimately of malachim, of the various forms of malachim. That's what it's referring to when it says, don't make images of the angels which dwell by me in the celestial sphere. I'm Rabbi. Lo asra Torah, ela shamashin shebemadr ha'elyon. Rabbi say Rabbi comes along and says, furthermore, the only images which are prohibited, Rabbi say, which images? Those things which live by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'madr ha'elyon. We'll say b'madr ha'elyon, we assume, means the celestial sphere. Shebemadr ha'tachto mishar. Are you telling me that to create images that live here, down in this world, is permitted? Vatanya, we learned, asher ba'shamayim. So the Pasuk says, lo sase lecha pesel, v'chol timuna, asher ba'shamayim mima'al, v'asher ba'aretz mitachas, v'asher ba'ayim mitachas la'aretz. Literally, don't make for yourself a graven image, an idol, of or any picture of anything that is in the heavens above, anything that's on the earth below, or anything that is in the water underneath the earth. So says the Gemara, Asher b'shamayim l'rabos chamalavano kochav mazalos. So when it says, don't make an image, don't make a pesel, don't make an image of anything that lives in the heavens, so we assume, what does that refer to? That refers to the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the constellations. Mima'al, they both say above, what does that word refer to? The rabbos malachi asharis. That refers ultimately again to the angels. Can't make images of the angels. Kitanya ha'ilo of dam. No. What is this pasuk talking about? Say, this is about worshipping them. That you can't worship these things. Ilo of dam, 1 second. If we're talking about worshipping something, then afilu shilshul katan nami. Both say, you can't worship even a tiny little worm. In other words, you can't worship anything other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I would, the pasuk, need to go ahead and prohibit worship, to which the Gemara says, Enoch inami, you're right. Umiseifa dekranavka. Rather, we learn this out from the end of the pasuk. We'll say, what's the end of the pasuk? Disanyo, asher ba'aretz. The pasuk says, you can't worship anything that is on the earth. L'rabos, yomim v'naros. We'll say, this comes to include what? This comes to exclude even the rivers and the seas, or the seas and the rivers. Harim u'gvos, even the mountains and the valleys. Mitachos, the both say underneath, what does that come to include? The rabos, shilshul kadam. Can't even worship even a small little worm. Vasiya, gredasa mishari. But 1 second, is creating these objects, creating these images by itself permitted? Vatanya, we learned, lo sasun iti, do not make with me, lo sasun kidmus shamashai, hamishamshin lefonai bimorum. Do not go ahead and create images of those things which serve before me in the celestial sphere. For example, Kigon, Chama Ulavana, the sun and the moon, Vikochad Mazalos, the stars and the constellations. So we'll say, so again, we come full circle. How did we get started on this whole thing to begin with? How did we get started on this? Rabbi Gamliel, right? Rabbi Gamliel has images of the moon in his aliyah, in his attic, and again, to show the witnesses who come for Kiddush HaKodesh. How can, so we'll say, all roads lead back to the same place, which is, you can't make images of the sun and the moon. I mean, we'll discuss what to do with this contemporarily, but you can't make images of the sun and the moon. So how is Rabbi Gamliel able to have these images in his attic? So we'll say, to which the Gemara says, Sheni Rabbi Gamliel, Da'achirib Asulo. So we'll say, so the Gemara gives an interesting answer. It's okay, because Rabbi Gamliel didn't make it himself. Someone else made it from him. Rashi points out to Rabbi Gamliel, third line from the top in Rashi, Da'achirim Asulo, of Dei Kochavim. He commissioned the Nakum. Right? The Nakum made it for him. So again, somebody else made it for him, therefore it's not a problem. To which the Gemara says, Vaha, Ravi, so the Gemara says, Da'achirim Asulo, Vaha, Ravi Huda Da'achirim Asulo, so we'll say yet again, but what about the case of Ravi Huda? We'll say Ravi Huda again, remember, this was the Rabbi Yehuda also had something that someone else made for him. We'll discuss what this case is in just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda had an object that was made for him by Rabbi Kocham. In fact, Rashi points out, Rashi says, Rabbi Yehuda da'achirim osulot tzura b'tabashayim aniach. Rabbi Yehuda had a ring, and the ring had an image on it. Someone else, an Akum, had made him that ring. Yet, va'amar li Shmuel Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel said Rabbi Yehuda, shinina, sharp one, right? Minitam t'chacham. Sama ene didan, blinded sight, which I will say meant that Shmuel instructed Rabbi Yehuda to somehow deface the image. Deface the image, in other words, you have to do something about that image. So what do you see from here? That even if an Akum makes the item, it is still prohibited for the Jew to use it and to possess it. To which the Gemara says, Hasam bechosmo bolet umishum chashad. No. Don't bring a raya from Rabbi Yehuda, Bosei. Rabbi Yehuda's case was different. Why? What was Rabbi Yehuda's case? We're going to see this in just a moment. Rabbi Yehuda's case, Bosei, was where Rabbi Yehuda had a ring that had an image on it, and the image protruded. The image was raised. And that was an issue of chashad. The problem is that if people saw Rabbi Yehuda walking around with this ring with a raised image, they would be choshish that what? That perhaps he was chas v'sholom worshipping this image. So we'll say, what's the case? Listen to this. We learned in a braisa. This is actually quite interesting. Tabas shechosma bolik. So we'll listen to this. If you have a ring, and the ring has an image, let's assume for our purposes right now it's the image of a person. So what happens? If you have a ring and the image is raised, so asra lahanicha, we'll say, so you are not permitted to wear it, because again, you're wearing something with a raised image. However, umutra lachtomba. But I will say, but you can use it as a seal. Right? You can use it as a seal. I will say, now what's the logic for that? So the Gemara says, umutra lachtomba. So we'll say, the logic for that is because you can't wear it, because since it's raised, it's prominent. But you can use it as a seal, because since when you seal something, I will say, what's going to happen with the image? The image is indented, right? And I don't know if indented is the right word, but depressed. Right, depressed, good. So therefore, I will say it's not prominent, and therefore it can be used. On the flip side, umutlaktam bachosma shokea, we'll say if the image is depressed, mutalanicha, you could wear the ring, va'asulachtomba. But we'll say what? But you can't go ahead and what? You can't sign with it. Why can't you sign with it, Rabbi Osai? Because when you sign with it, that creates a raised image. So the issue you see with these rings, Rabbi Osai, is wherever the image is raised. So however it turns out that the image is going to be raised, that's the prohibited use. So if the image is raised on the ring, you can't wear it, but you can use it as a seal. If it's depressed, then you can wear it, but you can't use it as a seal. So we'll say, so that's why, again, Shmuel was saying to Rabbi Yehuda, the image is raised, and therefore, again, you can't wear this ring. So we'll say, why? Now, what was the issue? The issue would be because if people see Rabbi Yehuda walking around with this ring, there's chashad. He'll be suspect for worshipping the idol, for worshipping idolatry. Are we concerned when we see great people walking around with this stuff or coming kind of avodah zarah that they're worshiping it? V'ha, this is actually amazing. Beit Knishta, the Shaf V'Yasib Ben Arda. There was the shul. The name of the shul was Shaf V'Yasib. That was the name of the shul in Arda. Now this is actually absolutely amazing. Why was it called the Shul of Shaf V'Yasif? We'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. It's like in the middle of the shorter lines. Shaf V'Yasif, Shem Makom Shai B'Medinas Narda. So Rashi's first approach, we'll say, is that Shaf V'Yasif is the name of the town. The Shul of Shaf V'Yasif. We'll say, this is amazing. V'yesh Omer, Yechanya V'galuso, Notlo Iman Me'avne Yerushalayim U'Me'afra, U'Bena'o'usham. Right, so we'll say, others say that no, listen to this. When Yechonyo, who was the king of Yehuda, was in the first wave of exile. So what's right? We're going to read about this in just a few days in Megillah Esther. Right, that Mordechai is exiled together with the first wave with Yechonyo, Melech Yehuda. So when Yechonyo was exiled, he comes to the city of Narda. And we'll say, what did he do? This is absolutely gripping and amazing. He took from the stones of Yerushalayim. So it's actually different Gersos. Some say that he took from the stones of the Harabais, which is quite interesting as well. So whether it's the stones of the Harabais, Avne Yerushalayim, Umeafran, from the dirt, Ubanao Sham. I will say, the first shul they built in Narda was built with the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, not literally, it doesn't literally have to be the ruins of Yerushalayim. He rebuilt, right, Jerusalem stone, right? They went ahead and built the shul in Narda from the ruins of Yerushalayim. V'hainu, the Shaf, the Yasef ben Arda, so we'll say that's the Lashon of Shaf. Shaf means Nishuf, right, Nishuf Khan, V'nisash, so we'll say Nishuf literally means blown away. Shaf means to be blown away. The Yasef, to be settled. That which was blown away in Yerushalayim, the Yosef was resettled in Narda. Incredible. So we'll say, in the shul of Shaf Yosef in Narda. Incredible. That's the resilience of Am Yisrael. The resilience of Am Yisrael is Shaf the Yosef. That we take the ruins of one place, even in our homeland, even Yerushalayim, and we take it wherever we have to go. We take the ruins, we take the stones, and ultimately, again, we rebuild in Narda. So the Gemara says, in that shul in Shaf V'Yasif, du'ukni ba andarta. So we'll say, there was a statue in the shul of Shaf V'Yasif. They will say, obviously not put there by the Jews, but by Pashas, put there by the Gentile authorities. Rashi says, over here, andarta is a tselem. They put an idol. They put an idol in the shul in Shaf and Shafi Yosef. And Rabbi say the father of Shmuel and Levi used to go and daven in the shul. Even though what? There was mamash an idol there. And Rabbi say ultimately again, obviously, they were not worried that people would suspect them of worshipping idolatry. To which the Gemara says, Rabbim Shaini. Rabbi say it's different when it's the Rabbim. It's different when it's public. In other words, Rabbi say the issue of chashad only applies to individuals, does not apply to the collective. So everyone knows that the tzibur is not davening to this idol. The king mandated that probably a statue of himself be placed there, and therefore there's no chashad by the rabbim. Rabbi Gamliel di Yachid Hava. But I will say, so again, remember, we're still struggling with Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel was a Yachid, he was an individual. So how was he able to maintain these images of the moon? Kevan de Nasi hu shchicha rabbim gabe. Rabbi says, so the answer is, since he was the Nasi, many people were found by him. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel's home was like a makom rishus harabim. So because of that, again, there was no chashad. Furthermore, vi bai sema, diprakim havi. But the other possibility is, these three-dimensional images that he had, or these images that he had, were made of pieces. Under normal circumstances, they were disassembled. He only assembled them when? Dafka, when the witnesses came in to cross-examine them. Mm-hmm. The other possibility is, lehislamed shiny. They both say that the point of this was to teach. In other words, the point of this was an educational tool. Or specifically, again, a witness corroboration tool. So I'll say, any time that you need something for educational purposes, even if it is somewhat avodah zarah, it could be that it would be permitted. Disanya, lo salamid lasos, lo simad lasos. So I'll say, you should not learn to replicate the ways of the nations. Aval ata lamad lahavinu lahorah. So we'll say this: we know, in order, for example, to paskin an avodah zarah shailas, what do you need? You need a commanding knowledge, a working knowledge of avodah zarah. So therefore, again, you see this idea, this ability to go ahead and learn about avodah zarah in order to be able to paskin avodah zarah. So the idea over here being that I will say, when this avodah zarah piece, or potential avodah zarah piece, or something that looks like problematic avodah zarah is necessary for some type of educational tool of Kali Suro, it will be permitted. So I will say, so bottom line, the Gemara gives multiple different answers as to how Rabbi Gamliel was able to maintain these images of the moon. Either, according to one opinion, there's no prohibition at all, because the prohibition of Lo Sasun Iti doesn't refer to the sun, the moon, and the stars, rather it refers to the angels. That's possibility number one. Possibility to Rabbi Osai is that his home was like the rabbin, and therefore again the issue of chashad, the issue of suspect of worshiping avodah zarah doesn't apply to the rabbin, therefore it applies to Rabbi Gamliel as well. Other possibility Rabbi Osai is prakim, it was made of pieces, therefore it was normally kept in a disassembled state, only assembled when absolutely necessary. And last possibility Rabbi Osai is lehislamed shiny. Rabbi Osai, anything needed for educational purposes, in this case for corroboration of testimony of the new moon, is going to be permitted. Fine. So let's go a little bit weiter. So let's remember again. So the Mishnah said that if you have utensils with images of the sun, the moon, and the stars, or dragons, it's going to be problematic. Rav Gamliel says it's only problematic if what? If it's inscribed on bakavadiki utensils. But if it's inscribed on just basic, right, not unimportant utensils, it's not problematic. So it says the Gemara, Ezohim Mechubad and Ezen Mavuzin. We'll say, what is considered to be utensil that's Mechubad, and what is something that is just considered to be base? Amarav Mechubadin Lamaila Minamayim. So we'll say Mechubadin means above, literally above the waterline of the utensil. Mevuzin Lamata Minamayim. And we'll say, so again, something that is Mevuza is below the waterline. So again, I guess if it's on a part of the utensil which is always visible, even when the utensil is filled with contents, that's called mechubad. If it's normally covered when the utensil is filled, that's called mevuza. Ushmuel or Shmuel says no. Eila ve'eila mevuzin hei. But say, anytime you have the image of idolatry, or of the sun, the moon, and the stars, I should say, inscribed on a utensil, and that's a consumption utensil, that's a utensil used for food, that's called mevuza. So it says the Gemara, we'll say what is considered to be a mechubad utensil in which these images are problematic. Shalashirin v'ala nizamim v'ala tabos. We'll say it's only problematic if the images are on bracelets, nose rings, or other types of things. In other words, we'll say when are the images problematic? If it's on jewelry. Jewelry is considered to be something mechubad, and that's where these images will be problematic. Tanya Kavasi de Shmuel, Vosei Rabbi said support Shmuel, Mechubadin, what's considered to be ultimately if it's inscribed What's considered to be if it's on a mechubad utensil, asha ala shirin, ala namazin, ala tabos. If it's on jewelry, mevuzin, what's considered to be mevuzah? So he says, sha'al hayoros, va'al ha'kumkamstin. So we'll say if it's on pots, or if it's on kettles, va'al mechayimayim, those things that ultimately go ahead and warm up water, v'sha'al ha'sadinin, va'al mitpachos, or on sheets, or ultimately again on towels. So we'll say if the images are on any of these things, then ultimately what? It's considered to be mevuzin, it's considered to be of an unimportant nature, and therefore will not be problematic. So bottom line, halacha l'maisa, if the image is on jewelry, it's problematic, but if the image ultimately, again, is on some type of food preparation utensil, it's considered to be mavuza and will not be a problem. Right? So we'll have to stop a bit for today. We have to do the halacha l'maisa on the images, because again, creating images of the sun, the moon, and the stars, Samir Hashem, we'll hopefully get that in tomorrow's daf.